Mini, Gimeo, Viva de Anfibia, Abrazo y una mate, Jumba de Amo. Jumba, Jumba, que lindo.
Seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Oh, yes, indeed. All systems are nominal. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Out and About. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane. You're probably listening either on 88.1 or 92.3 FM. Perhaps you are streaming, live streaming, or dead streaming, I don't know, from KYRS.org. However you want to do it. We're glad you're here. And you know what? We're getting close to the fun drive, so we're going to be doing a little fun drive talking. And as always, you know, we, KYRS, we partner up with businesses and with charitable organizations in the city. We find that people who have like values are good to work with, and you probably have the same values too if you're listening to this. So I'm just going to go around and welcome everybody. Welcome one and all. I have in the studio with me, I have to my left, which you can't see on the radio, but perhaps you'll hear it stereophonically, Michael Moonbear, who is the manager of KYRS. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Maeve. It's nice to be here. And it's wonderful to be here with everyone.
It is.
Some of the best people in the city are sitting in this room.
I know. The power in this room right now. Mm. The power here. And we have Cherise Scott of VOA Spokane, really representing Hope House in this endeavor. Hello, Cherise.
Hello. You are too kind, Michael. Thank you so much. Nice to be here with you all.
And then Allison Collins, my old buddy from Boots Bakery and Lounge. Hello, Allison.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's so good to have you. And we've got Carol Alice keeping us all on the straight and narrow because Carol is KYRS. She's on the KYRS board. Hello, Carol.
Hey, Maeve. You do a great job. Thank you for interviewing.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Okay. Well, that's not working now. Okay. Well, we'll see. All right. So you two might have to share a microphone here, just to let you know, because that one's not.
Which indeed, one works? This one or this one?
That one right there.
Okay.
See? Yeah.
That's okay. I can show a Cherise.
Okay. 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 Well, this would be good television right now. So we are, right now, we're going to talk about what's going on with Boots Bakery and Lounge and Hope House. What kind of arrangement have you two made with KYRS?
Well, we're not entirely sure. We're just going to, match, is it, Michael, you jump in here. We're going
sure.
to, when somebody gives a certain pledge, we are going to then pledge a meal to Hope House.
Yeah, so right. What we had talked about is it's something that KRS has been doing for several years. Our first partnership we created was with the Central Market. What was across the street in our own location?
Yeah,
Main
Market, yeah.
Right, the Main Market and Second Harvest Food Bank. So we're doing these. We started to think about, we're already doing fund drives. We're doing this event that's very public, and there's a tremendous amount of support coming through it. And we decided, how about, you know, how can we help bring in other partnerships here to help benefit, you know, a local business that we love and work with, and help benefit another nonprofit? And we came up with the idea of getting, with that particular first one, it was arrangement for the Main Market for a specific amount of donation. They would donate a set amount of food to Second Harvest Food Bank. And so it's giving attention to the Main Market and promoting the Main Market and the good that they're doing. It's helping feed people through Second Harvest Food Bank. So we've continued that. Carol has really taken up a lot of effort in helping to create partnerships as we have our fund drives. And this time around, what we have is Boots Bakery and Lounge has been a longtime supporter of this station. And also, it has also, I remember in the old location, has sent over some food to feed people during fund drives as well. They've been very generous and supportive. And so we decided we were going to work with Boots Bakery and Lounge this time around. And also we talked to Boots about who would you like to support. And Boots came up with Volunteers of America, who we have also worked with before in the past with one of our last previous fund drives. It might have been spring last year, too.
Yeah.
That it was Feast.
You're right.
Yeah. Feast World Kitchen and was going to donate meals to Volunteers of America Hope House.
Yeah.
And so now, and that's exactly what Boots chose, is that we're going to support VOA. And VOA said, great, let's put that to Hope House. So that's what's happening this time. For every minimum $36 donation, then Boots is going to donate food to Hope House to help feed people there.
Okay. And Carol, I think that microphone's the one that works there, the one that's
the one up in the air.
Oh, jeepers. Yeah.
Not the little one. So, but I wanted to ask you two, I wanted to ask Allison and Charisse, did you know each other before this venture at all?
Yes, we certainly do know each other. We've been friends for
a long time.
Very long time.
Probably like 2007, I believe, we started working at Mizuna together. Well, she had been there before I...
Yeah, I was there. Yeah. And then 2007, that's when I had Olive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
What a great reunion. What a great thing that you're going to do. And Carol, welcome. You want to put that down? Can you put that down by your face there?
Here we go.
All right. Okay. Carol, how did you... Were you the... What's your role in all of this?
Well, with the Saranac building and with Boots Bakery downtown, I'm always interested in supporting local businesses and their efforts to build community. And because KYRS used to be located right above Boots Bakery, I just thought, okay. And Michael even said, why don't you talk to Allison? And so Allison and I persevered and figured out this could be a go, and that... she is the one who picked VOA. So it just came to be because it was meant to be.
Oh, what wonderful, wonderful. And Michael, what kind of things are we looking, we all have an interest here and we're all trying to do good things for the community, but what kind of things are you looking to kind of do with the station? I think there's a lot of costs that people have that they don't realize. Could you kind of talk about some of those?
The fund drives are tremendously important because it is literally one of the main avenues of support that we have for the station. We don't receive government funding. We don't have big corporations that are funding this effort, this community radio station. It's all very public. It's all community. And so the fund drives that we do each year are where we derive a good portion of our budget to stay on the air, just to pay the basic bills from day to day to keep the station open and operational. Tower, that broadcast tower site that we have costs us $25,000 a year, just that.
Yeah.
That broadcast tower site. And that's larger than the total budget of some small community radio stations.
What is that? Does that entail the electricity?
Everything. It's the electricity, the rent, and then which is, I can't remember what it is, but it's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a year. Those types of sites, they come very dear. And those also our broadcast engineer who we pay. When you take a trip up to that Stenskar Mountain site, it really is like mounting an expedition. So we do encounter a lot more bills than the average station as far as getting your broadcast engineer up there, because it's an all-day project and it's very arduous to get there and back.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's even just that alone, that we're looking at $25,000 there just to pay that, to have the tower up and running throughout the year. So there's that, and also one of the things that we'd really like to do, we have had some strong donations to do it, but also just to help strengthen the site itself. So if there's a loss of power from a vista, we could have a backup generator that's operational to keep us on the air. Things like that are very essential. And so those are the things that we'll be looking into, you know, upgrading and just even purchasing for the that tower site.
Okay, very cool. And Allison, I kind of wanted to ask you this question because this has sort of been in the news lately. Where you do your kitchen for Boots Bakery and Lounge is it at Thrive? Is that right? And so they kind of, that's the Ukrainian community, right? Has that been kind of problematic with ICE and all these illegal deportations and stuff going on?
I don't have any knowledge that it's been problematic. I mean, the people who reside there, it's not just strictly Ukrainians. There are people from, what is that? Not the Department of Congo. What is that called? The Republic of Congo.
Republic of Congo.
Yeah, people from more nations are coming, but haven't seen any problems with ICE there.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Other than the ICE you need at the restaurant, probably.
Right. And I think their funding, Thrive's funding, is good because it's mostly state level versus national. But I think like World Relief has taken some big cuts.
Yeah, they're right by the theater, actually. Their headquarters.
Yeah.
And Charisse, how did that work out when we did this last time? What was kind of your community there at Hope House? How was that all received? Was it a good deal? Or?
Oh yeah, it was wonderful. We all love Feast, and they're basically right next door.
Right, yeah, they are. They're right there.
And they've always been a great partner of ours. Their food is wonderful, the ladies are over the moon. You know, when they get something like that, you know, as opposed to what they get on a daily basis. So it was fantastic. Very well received.
Have there been? What about the population? Has it been kind of an increasing population there? Or is it how are things going out on the street there?
I mean, yeah, we're certainly always full. We're always full. Yeah.
What is the capacity?
It is 80 for shelter and 20 for respite currently. Yep.
Okay. And you know, we're all here. What do you think are some of the common values that we all hold together here? Especially, I think these values are. What I think they are, I think it's very kind of like a light in the storm thing that we've got going on right now. You want to talk a little bit about that, the kind of values we share?
One of the things I'd like to hear about, because I'm not sure that all of our listeners will be aware of Hope House's mission and what Hope House itself is. Could you talk about that a little bit, Charisse, so people understand what's being supported?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's same as all of our other two shelters and all of our other housing projects. It's basically put a roof over people's heads, give all of our people mental health support. We are a mental health organization officially, so there is a lot of that. And as we know, that's one of the first places that you have to start. To create security and wellness. So it's number one. And then we like I said, roof number one.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Carol, how about you? Do you see kind of like when you see these groups coming together? Do you kind of see a similarity or a vision that people kind of share?
Well, the synergy is that we are all locals who have our boots on the ground. And we have our eyes open. And so the need is obvious. All you have to do is go anywhere downtown and see that there are people who do need a roof over their heads and they do need a good solid meal. And also there's this fact, downtown is a place to be. And I love it when we have vital food downtown and we have safe places downtown and people are on the streets and talking and walking and eating and merrymaking, you know. And so I just see this part of making solid ground for our city folk and the people who come downtown.
Oh, very good. And Allison, how's that your new location working out there? Has that been, it's been a, how long's it been now? Probably longer than I think.
Yeah, longer than I think. I believe Oh, gosh. It's over a year.
Okay.
I think this August will be almost 2 years.
Yeah, I almost would think so, yeah.
Yeah, this August will be 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's something I should maybe know, but...
And it's going pretty good there still?
It's
you like
great.
It?
Yeah. It's great. It's great to be in the community building, and we're very, very busy. It's a great location. Visit Spokane's doing a bang-up job on events in this town.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Haven't they been? I mean, the restaurants are just...
Busy.
Just crazy
and all the
busy.
Sporting stuff. There's yeah. It's a lot. So mm-hmm. Yeah, we love it.
Yeah, that's really cool. Anything new? Any new menu items or anything going on? Yeah.
We have a lot of new menu items. Yeah. What do you want me to list them?
No, it's okay. It's okay. How about the lounge in the end of things?
Is yeah, we don't have our lounge up and running yet. But we do have some zero proof. I guess you would call them cocktails, but they're not. They're zero okay. proof. But yeah, we didn't take the lounge out because that is a That's possibility,
yeah.
And I didn't want to have the whole logo redone. So
yeah, no doubt, right? And people can lounge around. So you know,
yeah, there you go.
What does that mean?
Oh my, Maeve, can I say something about the food?
Oh yeah, please, girl.
Actually, it's high quality and nutritious.
Yeah,
and for downtown to have that quality, and you always get ample portions in zip time. I mean, there might be a little line and sometimes a longer line, but it's worth waiting for. So do try it out.
Yeah, Sunday mornings.
That's nice.
The waffles.
Thank you.
It's true. Yes.
Yeah, it is true.
So, Allison, I'd like to hear about, I've never heard this, what was the idea to start to provide that level and quality of food in downtown Spokane? Because that's very interesting, and also it speaks to the quality of the food that's going to be going to Hope House.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, we are strictly vegan and gluten-free. When we started, when was that? 12 and a half years ago, we were across the street, before we moved into the Saranac Commons. And I mean, to have, when you say quality food, it's going to be quality food because nothing is pre-made, nothing is pre-purchased. We don't buy vegan meats. We don't buy vegan cheeses. We make all of the things ourselves. So when you start with just the, basic ingredient, then you're going to end up with a quality product.
Yeah. How did you get connected with KYRS? Do you remember? How was the...
I think Bob years ago asked me, Bob from Queer Sounds, mm-hmm. Asked me, and they're a loyal customer. And we actually, this is a nod to KYRS. We do absolutely zero advertising with anyone else except for KYRS. We underwrite Queer Sounds. It used to be Queer Sounds. Yeah, now Maeve.
Yeah.
So it's important to us to have that kind of community support.
Yeah, that's one of the, I mean, this is a beautiful facility we have here in the library, but I do miss, you know, coming by there for dinner, you know, and
right.
stuff right after the show. But yeah, that's kind of, you know, you got to take the good with the bad and the bad with the good, I suppose. So, Michael, when does the Fun Drive kick off?
It is starting on April 27th. It's 7 days. It's a full week. So it runs from April 27th through May the 3rd. And we will be on the air all day and late into the night soliciting donations to keep the station on the air. And that's exactly how a major part of our budget is achieved, is the generosity and the support of our community.
Yeah. And what's the goal this year?
$30,000.
Okay.
We're looking at, and we came very close to that. I think we may, I hadn't looked at it, updates a little bit over time. Our office is really good at tracking the minutia of that. But I think we did hit that last time, and we're looking to do that again because we do build that into our budget. It's what we actually need budget-wise to help stay on the air. They're not aspirational numbers.
No,
they're
no,
like, sure. We're always coming just as like, here's what we need. And you know, can you meet us there and help us with what we need? And then also by doing that, help us to benefit Boots Bakery and Lounge and Hope House as well. All you just in one phone call, you can support all three organizations. Really, it's a fantastic, really, really beautiful partnership. I'm so glad that Carol helped facilitate this.
Yeah, me too. And I just think that, you know, it's always a wonderful thing that you know, to give people good food is really, you know, I know from my time in the fire department, it was like there was people really just lived on fast food, and it was just. not good. They didn't look healthy. Of course, they weren't healthy, or they wouldn't have been calling us. But
oh, you're not talking about the people at the fire department. There's a stereotype of the fire department being super healthy, yeah, and they've got great food and cooks.
Oh, we ate good at the fire department. I'm talking about patients.
I understand.
Yeah. You know, I just think that there's something that a meal that's well made, it just affects you on so many levels. Is that something that you think? I mean, probably it's not. I'm sure you don't meditate on that as you're mixing the dough.
No, but when I started Boots, it was like an extension of my living room. We always had big, Sharice knows, we always had big holidays with not just our family and our chosen family, but people who didn't have a place to go, might have been our customers. So yeah, cooking for people, it is a really rewarding thing, and it does make people feel good to eat something that is home cooked, even though we're making it in a commercial kitchen. But simple food, all of our food's very simple, but you're not going to feel crappy after you eat it.
Yeah. Are you still getting grief about not having the carrot cake anymore?
Oh, yes. Every single week, every week. Yeah, yeah. Well, I have thought about doing a pop-up. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Oh, that would be.
I wouldn't do it out of Thrive's kitchen because we keep that very pristine.
Oh, yeah, that's
on
all
the gluten-free.
Yeah.
But, and for people who don't know, there's a carrot cake that I used to make for Mizuna for a lot of years. It's vegan carrot cake, but it's not gluten-free, and it has a cult following, and yes, I get a lot of grief. So a pop-up, wouldn't that be kind of fun?
That'd be really cool. That'd be really cool. Have you done one of those pop-ups before? Have you done anything like that?
I'm just trying to figure out how that would work. It would be a nightmare, I think. I'm sure it can make a lot of money.
Let's do it. Yeah. I think, yes, why not?
People stock their freezers.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do our 20-minute after the hour business here. I got to play a little music as I load stuff on the computer. So, you know, let's do the super thing. Why don't we?
Thank you.
and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Out and About receives support from the Northwest Museum of Arts and Culture. The MAC presents Samurai Sunrise Sunset through June 1st, 2025. This exhibition features armor, weaponry, and personal items of Japan's samurai class. Located at 2316 West 1st Avenue in Spokane's historic Browns Edition, more information is available at northwestmuseum.org.
Hey, it's Luke Baumgarten, editor at Range Media.
And Aaron Sellers, City Hall and Politics reporter.
Inviting you to listen to Free Range right here on KYRS Thursdays at 3 p.m. Not only are we going to help you keep up with all the news swirling around us in the Spokane area, but because it's us, we're also going to help listeners understand how to engage with the political systems that shape our daily lives.
Whether it's learning how to testify at city council meetings, figuring out who to contact about that never-ending pothole, or understanding the policies that affect your neighborhood, we're here to break it all down.
So we're going to dive into the stories behind Spokane's biggest headlines and talk to the journalists who uncovered them, and we'll have some fun along the way.
At Free Range, our mission is simple. Empower you to get involved and make sure your voice is heard when it comes to the decisions local governments are making that impact your life.
So join us on KYRS every Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m. for Free Range, brought to you by the worker-owned newsroom, Range Media.
Because, Spokane, your voice matters, and we're here to help you use it.
Hey, this is DJ Downlow from Inside the Hype Radio. Thousands of people choose KYRS as their radio station every week, and we want you to be a part of our family. Just text GIVE KYRS to the number 44321 and make KYRS your radio station.
Get ready to get loud in the library. KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, Spokane Central Library, and Brick West Brewing bring you a night of powerhouse music. Saturday, April 26th, 7 p.m. at the KYRS Studios, third floor, Spokane Central Library. Featuring Whack-A-Mole, a six-piece band fronted by American Idol finalist Amanda Dunn, delivering rock, Motown, funk, disco, whatever keeps the party going. Also featuring Eternal Jones, dynamic rock and blues band packed with top-tier musicians, ripping guitar, funky rhythms, and killer saxophone solos. Admission is free. Enjoy beer, wine, and snacks while you soak in the sounds. Don't miss this electrifying night, Saturday, April 26th, 7 p.m. Get loud with us at Spokane Central Library.
And we are back, and you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, and more specifically, you are listening to Out and About. And I have, yes, I've got my friends here that we're talking about the relationship that we have are forging in the bonds of love between Boots Bakery and Hope House. And part of the promotion that we'll be doing during our pledge drive will be when you make a donation to KYRS, you will be helping provide a meal for people at Hope House via Boots Bakery. So welcome back, everybody. And, you know, I just kind of, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but I was just kind of, you know, wanted to get caught up a little bit. How are things on the board, Carol, these days with KYRS?
We are becoming more powerful on two counts. One, because we are adding programs that are more diverse and more open to more and more different viewpoints in our community, and Michael can speak best to that. But number two, I think more than ever, we're trying to get our programming out so that people can be connected if there are health issues, if there are community issues and opportunities, if there are, you know, whatever. We have talk shows. We have people who are listening and people who are speaking. Okay. And Michael can talk about some of our most recent additions for programming.
Actually, Dana could do a lot better job of that because that's Dana's area specifically. Yesterday we had a meeting with Lillian from, I can't remember the name exactly because they've changed the, it used to be APIC, but we're talking about because we're promoting what's happening here in May, which is the Asian History Month. And so we're promoting events that our Asian Coalition is doing here in town. And we were speaking with Lillian from that organization about getting an Asian perspective show on the air to let people know what's going on in the community. And I was just actually talking to the people at Thrive and looking at that, maybe getting some refugee programming on the air as well. So we're always looking to expand that. We did, I've done a couple of presentations at SCAR, the Spokane Community Against Racism, and talking to groups there about proposing putting shows on KYRS to give more voice to the different aspects of the community here in Spokane. So we're always working very strongly in that area.
Michael, you know, with the current political situation that's going on, have you found, is it changed any of the way that we do business, or have you noticed any kind of any blowback on anything or stuff
the
like
way
that?
What it's changed about the way we do business is to make sure that we are much more closely scrutinizing that, as you would say, you know, that we're crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's to make sure that we are in legal compliance with FCC regulations, because currently the FCC that is headed up by Brendan Carr, Trump's appointee, is now the chair of the FCC and has made it clear in Project 2025 that he would rather that stations like us did not exist and would like us to go away. And so there is kind of an air that's really developing of a witch hunt to look at ways and opportunities to disqualify, say, nonprofit status for organizations like us, or to actually revoke your license to broadcast. So it's like looking with a lot of scrutiny, what are you doing, watching every step that you take? And so what we're doing is simply making sure that we're really paying attention to, you know, what the laws are and all the regulations are, and that we're following those to the letter.
Okay, yeah. You know, I kind of dropped the ball because usually at the beginning of each broadcast, I play a little music from Dr. Strangelove, the Bomb Run music, and then I read from On Tyranny. And I'll get this more in detail next week, but one was the number 10, we're up to number 10, was Believe in Truth. And I was thinking, but if I pulled it off, it would have been a really good tie-in, because that's what we try to do here, is we try to bring truth to people's ears. And part of this thing of hearing truth is that it may not be something that makes us comfortable or maybe backs up the way we feel about the world, but that's kind of our role, I feel like, as people are sort of lapsing into these different camps. And I think that, you know, We're going to be a beacon for that for a while here for people.
Because we're not going to bow down to being bullied into self-censorship. That's why we're going to really focus much more strongly than we have in the past on following regulations to the T to make sure that we protect the voices that we broadcast and give a voice to. Yeah. We want to make sure those are protected so that they can still be heard.
Right. And we know right now that it's not beyond the pale for them to do something illegal or unconstitutional to enforce their will. But the thing is, you know, we won't just give stuff up. We're going to play by the rules. And if they want to not play by the rules, then that's them, I guess. So Hope House, how did Hope House get started? It seems like, I remember it being in a different location. Was it on 3rd, I believe? For a while, and
yep,
then moved
that's correct.
Over. I used to go on calls.
Yeah,
there.
It started in the 80s during the whole the serial killer. What was
Kevin Coe?
Kevin Coe. There, Coe, thank yeah. you. I didn't live here then, and I kind Last of I was I forgot
Carol
his name.
For the 500.
Yes, yes. Carol always
oh,
for the
you
win.
Need to phrase that as a question, Carol. Sorry.
it wasn't safe on the streets for a lot of, well, mostly sex workers.
Yeah.
And there was a group of Providence nuns that said, all right, well, we're not having this. And so we got together and created a Hope House, basically. It was how it started. And we call it Hope House OG now. But that was it. Just, you know, little tiny bedrooms and kind of an escape, a safe haven, yeah. For these women, to get off the street. And it's definitely gone through a little bit of a metamorphosis since then. And the new building, gosh, what was that? 2000? Oh no,
was it right around the pandemic? Wasn't it?
It was two thousand. Yeah. Was it right before?
Yeah, because I visited before the pandemic. I thought.
Well, the brand new one I think was 2002. I mean, I think it just. Because, well, and we were talking about this during the break, during COVID, because the original Hope House was so small, you know, the shelter, we had to do social distancing. So yeah. Everybody got kind of moved around. And one of those places was right here in the library. So, and then another place, a little... I think it was, I don't remember what kind of building it was, but it was at Lower South Hill. So, and then until the new building was built. So yeah, I think it was, '01 or '02. '01.
Was Volunteers, Volunteers of America does a lot of things. They do crosswalk, right? They do.
Correct.
And so that need for, how is VOA funded? Is it contributions and state? How does that work?
Yes, yes, and yes. Government, yeah, federal, state, city, yeah, you name it.
Okay. Because they really are at the forefront of trying to take care of things downtown and provide people, you know, way to live down there. And
yes, yeah, yeah. We have permanent supportive housing. So, you know, there's any reason that you cannot sustain yourself, you know, we will help you and you can stay there as long as you like. Which is wonderful. In fact, that's the top three floors of Hope House.
Oh,
is
cool.
Permanent supportive housing.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. The bottom floor is the shelter and the respite.
Now,
so.
did Crosswalk move out?
We're close. We're so close.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. In fact, Carol has seen the inside of the new Crosswalk. It should be done in August. But the new building is out just off of Mission by SCC.
Okay. Oh, nice. Oh, that's right. That's such a great location.
Oh, my gosh. It's perfect, really. Yeah. So it's also right across the street from our young adult shelter. That's 18 to 24. And then in the, on the same lot is a Chaz Health Clinic. So honestly, it couldn't be better.
Wow. Fantastic. Yeah. And people will be able to live there and go to school and, create a future for themselves. What a beautiful thing.
And they're going to have a kitchen. I have to interrupt. So that they're going to have the best kitchen that they could imagine. And they have an interior space where the young people can play soccer or basketball or read or do whatever they want. It's really fabulous.
Oh, that is so cool. Yeah. That is so cool.
The inside of the current shelter right now is so small. They basically they live during the day in the same place that they sleep at night. Yeah. And, you know, it's like a weird Murphy bed situation and they all kind of sit around all day and stare at each other. It's really, it's not ideal, but they, you know, they all had a hand when we designed this shelter. We sat down with the kids and asked them what they wanted, and that's what they got.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Shout out for Fawn Schott, the CEO, and also for Mary Lee Roloff, who was so instrumental in Crosswalk and VOA. I mean, women have done powerful things, not just for women, because also males come to Hope House.
Yeah, and that...
Yes.
In Hope House and Crosswalk, those are places, you know, that have really helped out LGBT folks too, right? I mean, that especially the kids that get maybe booted out of their families and, you know, they don't have a safe place to go. It's just, it's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. It's come as you are and we meet you where you are in your life and we go from there.
Oh, I'm so happy that we're all doing this together. This is going to be so wonderful. And I just, you know, it's just such a great opportunity to just, to show who you are and to show who we are that we're doing this. Allison, you've been running this restaurant a long time now.
No, Dave, this restaurant's been running me a long time.
Foots, has there been anything about it that has really surprised you about running a running restaurant, Foots in particular?
Yeah, we were fortunate. Well, what surprises me is that you can have a vision, you can have any vision you want of what restaurants you're going to have. But for us, I felt like to be successful, we had to just kind of morph and listen to what people wanted. When we first opened, we had very little food, just enough food to support our liquor license. And the rest was like baked goods and drinks. And day one, people were like, where's the food? Get us more food, more. We've gone through, I don't know, probably in 12 and a half years, probably 6 different display cases, bigger and bigger and bigger for food because people want food. And now we have the opportunity to do griddle stuff. You know, we have a lot more things. But we were fortunate. This fits in with your show. Right when we opened, marriage equality was on the books or coming up for a vote. And we, I don't ever endorse political anything as a business owner, but I'm like, this is a person issue. This is a civil rights issue. So we hosted phone banks, fed volunteers, and put our name out publicly that this is something that we support, and we support it loudly, and put a window sign up and the whole thing. And that's kind of scary when you open a brand new business to stick your neck out, but I felt like it was very important, and I feel like we've been rewarded richly for that.
Yeah, and you know, and I think that's smart. I've seen this. I remember when the Black Lives Matter movement was starting to take off. A restaurant by me, they really couldn't fully commit to it. You know, they were like, well, first of all, when I saw them put plywood up in their windows.
Oh my goodness.
You know, this is on the South Hill. And they put plywood up in their windows ready for the riot. And they had a sign up that said something like, not all lives matter, but something like that. Like, we won't tolerate people not being nice or something. You know, it was like really, like, we can't really say Black Lives Matter because it's going to alienate us. So I always find, and I guess it makes sense as a business. You really have to kind of choose your battles, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Did you find that cost you any customers or?
Well, if it did, I don't know who they are and I don't care.
Yeah.
I feel like it gained us customers.
Yeah.
Just because we were, because we're open to everyone.
Yeah.
And we for a long time had a group of gentlemen who would meet up in the mornings, you know, you would see them there who definitely probably don't support marriage equality, but they still would come. So just like a space for anybody and everybody and everybody's treated equally.
Yeah. You just have to be nice. Right. I mean, and I think that's, you know, as a
kind of like VOA. Kind of like VOA's mission.
Yeah. Really just to be nice. And I think that, you know, as a member of the LGBTQ community, I think that when you see that little sign that says all are welcome here, people think, oh, you know, virtue signaling or whatever they want to call it, which, you know, used to be just called being a decent human being. For me, it like this says this is a safe place. And it just seems like people don't realize how important that is when you walk into a business and you realize, oh, number one, my money's going to be spent with people who are nice and who support, you know, decent things. And also that I don't really have to worry about getting hassled there.
Right.
Yeah. And so,
or if you do get hassled, the people who work there have your back.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. And I know you had an incident like that.
We did,
years ago. Yeah. And that's, you know, that was came and went and we've all moved on. And
yeah.
That's really good. That's really good. Carol, the board, are you looking for board members right now at all?
We're looking for board members who want to invest a minimum of 3 years on the board and hopefully more, who have community ties and see other ways that we can grow our listeners, grow our programming, grow our connections to underserved communities, languages. So, yes, we want to be better at doing everything we do and reach more people with more vitality.
What's the commitment like besides just the years? What kind of workload is there to be on the board?
Well, First of all, let's start with the fun, because there's a lot of cool people on
the
board.
Yeah, there are.
People in music, people in business, people on the library board. There's people who run the station. What it's like is trying to keep up with change and trying to direct change and trying to see where the avenues are. Really, I think about people first and not funding.
Yeah.
Where are the people who can listen and support and grow us in ways we don't even see?
Yeah.
So I love the unknown aspect of it. I couldn't have told you a half year ago that we'd be sitting here with this interview. But
right.
You have to start. There's always a place to start. If you just look, there's a place to start.
Yeah.
And a place to grow people, not just on the board, but people around us, so that it's not that we have one message. It's that we listen for all the voices who need an avenue to speak.
Yeah. And I suppose you've probably run into people who have, that people bring really good ideas to, you know, at these meetings to KYRS, and it's just part of representing the community. And have you seen it like the station kind of grow in some different areas that you didn't expect?
Well, I'd like to ask Michael what he's seen, because he's the guru here. I'm kind of new, not even 2 years on this board.
Come on,
what I've
Carol,
seen
we
is...
gave you a microphone now. You know, come on, just don't shift things to Michael.
Okay, well, I say that we're young.
Make something up.
We're 21 years young, okay? Yeah.
We're just at the age we can start drinking now, and now Boots doesn't have a lounge going.
That's it. You said it, Michael. Yeah. There's no one thing that I could point to, and I'm sure with Michael, it's juggling.
Yeah.
It's just you know, outreach, antenna out. What's needing to be told here?
Yeah.
What's needing to have a platform here that we don't yet have?
Right.
And let's create it.
Amen. Amen, Sister
I know
Soldier.
One of the things that you're passionate about, that you talked to me early on when I met you, is the Sailor School. And we are, this is apropos of a totally different conversation, but one of the things that's coming up in September, KYRS is hosting the National Grassroots Radio Conference. And that means low power and commercial free stations from around the country are going to be coming here to a conference that we're hosting. We really stepped up to do that this year because we saw what was the way the FCC was shifting and the political climate was shifting, that one of my main thrusts here is to help create connections between other stations, because they feel isolated out there. If you're a small station run by, say, 10 people, you know, and that's the whole thing, and you're there by yourself and you don't have connections to anyone else, you feel very vulnerable. And a lot of times they don't understand what their rights are and what their capabilities are to create partnerships in the community, just like we're creating here. These partnerships are incredibly strong, and they bring the community together, and you feel supported. Just like when you were talking about the space that Allison has created with Boots, when you say that all are welcome here. Having a space like that where people can feel comfortable coming to provides the opportunity that eliminates things like prejudice, because prejudice doesn't, you know, there's a saying, prejudice rarely survives experience. Yeah, and you get to know and get to be close to and get to speak with one another, and those differences start to dissolve and you start to understand, and it becomes very difficult then to other people. Which is the way that people, say, get disappeared, or
right.
Things happen to them and you're not concerned about it because those are the others.
Yeah.
Once you take away those barriers and you can't other people like that, this is all just all important work. So, reason I brought up Sailor School is because I haven't asked them yet, so if they hear it first, surprise, I'm asking Sailor School to come and open the conference for us. So I would like them to have an opening, maybe a ceremony or blessing for the conference itself to add, you know, to bring some of, you know, more of our local culture into that conference.
You spoke, Michael, of partnership. So isn't it true that in the library on April 23rd, we have a partnership going right here with a film and musicians and the KSBS?
Yeah, the okay, we want the funk, we're doing that with yeah. the, along with
and
the
that's
SPS
such a and, new yeah. but mm-hmm. what a powerful thing that we can do that here yeah. in our library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the being in the library, even you know, there's a lot more opportunities for us to partner here too, which is great. So it does help that grow, help our community of partners grow. It's really valuable for that. But I do want to make sure that we remind everybody specifically what we're talking about yes, here, please. Which is our fund drive, which is one of the ways that the station stays on the air. It's the honest to goodness, one of the biggest parts of our budget. If it doesn't happen, your station doesn't happen. And our goal this year is $30,000 for this spring, which is similar to our goal last fall, because this is an amount that we need to fulfill that part of our budget. It's happening April 27th through May the 3rd. And we have Charisse and Allison here from VOA Hope House and from Boots Bakery and Lounge to talk about the partnership that we have created that Carol helped facilitate, whereby everybody receives a benefit. When you were already doing our fund drive, if you do even the minimum donation to KYRS, which is $36 during that fund drive, but $36 or any amount above will count for this, then Boots Bakery and Lounge will kick in as part of the partnership some food that they will donate to Volunteers of America Hope House to help feed these sheltered women. And so it's a win-win all the way around. And one of the things that I'm very happy about, that more and more people hear about the needs of Hope House, become aware about what is available to the community through Hope House, and also learn more about Boots, this you know amazing mm-hmm. small business that's here in our community that does so much.
Yeah, and every year, you know, it seems like we're kind of holding the line. I think that's what we were asking for last year too, right? 30,000.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And do you get any kind of feedback from the community as far as during the fund drive or after the fund drive about how well it's received, or what do people think about that? Do you ever hear anything from any of our listeners?
I would say when I can talk about, you know, why we do it, because we do occasionally receive questions like, how do you come up with that amount?
Yeah.
It's like, what is that? And then if you don't make it, you don't go off the air. It's like, no, if we don't make it, then sometimes we don't make our goal. We don't go off the air because we have other aspects, grant writing
yeah.
and other fundraising things, you know, trying to do special events, and you pull in stronger. And in underwriting, we have a very, very terrific underwriting coordinator, Kylie, who's working with us now, who I expect great things from. You strengthen those areas to make up, you yeah. know, to make it up. But yeah. it really is an essential thing to make, you know, to make the organization run, is that these fund drives are essential. That's why we do them. Nobody says, I treasure the times when I can come and plead for money.
You know, I as a programmer, I kind of like it because, you know, we don't really ever get to do much with the other folks who are here doing it. I never, you know.
I do enjoy it too.
I see yeah. Nira, you know, and when I come in and take over from her, but other than that, it's like we don't really get to see each other much. So, I kind of look forward to it.
You yeah, know, I do a special show with Rusty every time
yes,
during fun
do.
Drives.
I love that.
I do two shows. I do his show, and we also do a special show, and that's, yeah, yeah. tremendously fun. I love it to pieces. Yeah.
yeah, it's a good time. It's a really good time. So, you know, so why don't you, can you tell folks one more time when our fund drive is going to be?
It is coming up on April 27th to May 3rd. It's 1 week long. We don't do it shorter. We don't do it longer. Once it's done, that's it. We're done.
Yeah, yeah, and have we ever broken? Do we usually break it? Have we broken that number? Or are we?
We have, yes, yeah. we have in the past, and, yeah. and we've had some really good responses to. We've done some solicitation for challenge pledges,
yeah.
where what happens is, say, if you say I'm going to donate $500, if you can get other people to donate $500. And what that does is it makes it so it's like, well, I can't donate $500 personally, but I can kick in $100, and that's going to help get to that 500 where it'll be matched. And now, essentially, if it's being doubled, right, through a challenge pledge, my 100 turns into 200.
Yeah.
And once we get another 500, the original 500 match is met, and now it becomes 1,000. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And even if you're donating 36, every 36 of that is going towards that 500 to help that match. So anyone can really even more strongly contribute through that.
Yeah, very cool. And you guys, we're just about ready to go off the air. Do you have any parting shots? Charisse, you got? Go ahead.
I do, actually. So being the annual giving manager for VOA, I don't like to look at it as asking people for money. I like to think of it as, because everybody loves KYRS, right? You are connecting these people with this radio station and all of these amazing people that they love so much, this cause that they love so much, you're connecting them with that cause. So it's just kind of, yeah, I don't like to think of it as asking for money. You're connecting them with a cause that they love.
Come at me, Sharice. You know how to talk about this.
They love you guys, and they want to do this for you. They want to keep the programming on the air. Like, you know, hooray, go team.
Very good.
Thank you so much. I cannot wait to make hundreds of meals for Hope House. Everybody pledge.
Yes.
Carol, how about you?
Maeve, thank you for making this happen because you're fun to interview with and we all got to speak our hearts. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I thank everybody for tuning in and listening and stay tuned for the fun drive and it'll be fun. It'll be a fun drive and it'll be more fun when you send us a little cash too. So you are all listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane.
As Trump and company hurl horror after horror at us, from the murky darkness of their extremely wasteful war on government waste, I think of Lily Tomlin, who said years ago, "No matter how cynical you get, it's almost impossible to keep up." But no need to swat frantically at their every assault. Their blitzkrieg against everything at once is an intentional ploy to divide us into small, separate scrambles to save this and that, rather than rallying a unified, furious opposition to them. The evil is not in the budget cuts, but in the cutters. Second, let's be clear that their war on waste is not about eliminating useless taxpayer expenditures. Note that Elon Musk, Trump's silly efficiency czar, ignores such walloping waste as Pentagon boondoggles and tax scams for uber-rich hucksters like him. But by gollies, those budget-whacking plutocrats are fearless when it comes to killing essential benefits for regular people. A long-standing energy program, for example, helps very low-income families across America pay to heat their homes in bitter winters and to cool homes in the areas of brutal heat. It saves lives efficiently, being administered by a staff of only 25. But this month, Trump's government reform thugs stormed in, fired all 25, and shut down the program. As Senator Ed Markey said, "This isn't reform, it's sabotage." This is Jim Hightower saying, "Exactly. Soft words like efficiency are their knives for castrating government of, by, and for the people, allowing a cabal of Trump, Musk, and allied financial elites to impose a moneyed monarchy over America. But remember our history. We Democratic rebels won all-out wars in the 1770s and 1860s to defeat them. So toughen up. Here they come again." The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
Get ready to get loud in the library. KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, Spokane Central Library, and Brick West Brewing bring you a night of powerhouse music. Saturday, April 26th, 7 p.m. at the KYRS Studios, 3rd floor, Spokane Central Library. Featuring Whack-A-Mole, a six-piece band fronted by American Idol finalist Amanda Dunn, delivering rock, Motown, funk, disco, whatever keeps the party going. Also featuring Eternal Jones, a dynamic rock and blues band packed with top-tier musicians, ripping guitar, funky rhythms, and killer saxophone solos. Admission is free. Enjoy beer, wine, and snacks while you soak in the sounds. Don't miss this electrifying night, Saturday, April 26th, 7 p.m. Get loud with us at Spokane Central Library.
KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM and 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
This is Democracy Now!
I've always thought of Passover as a celebration of liberation, and liberation can never be just the Jews, because there's nothing free about being by yourself in some sort of country in battle. The only way to fight for liberation is to fight for everybody, and in this case, the Palestinians.